Tomorrow will mark 50 years since Apollo 11 took off from the Kennedy Space Center on a moon mission to change history. Challenger Learning Center, housed at Heartland Community College in Normal, has been hosting a series of events to mark the occasion, including demonstrations at daycare centers and summer camps, where volunteers give demonstrations in an Apollo spacesuit. The center's flight director, Libby Torbeck, tells GLT's Eric Stock she hopes looking back at NASA's crowning achievement will spark more interest in what the space program wants to do in the future.
Places that are having events, of course, and making a big deal about it, kids will go, wait, what's Apollo? What's the moon program, you know, and just their curiosity of what this even is gives us a good starting point. Another thing that's kind of fun about this anniversary is that it coincides with a recent announcement from the government about a new initiative to go to the moon. And so being able to look at that new initiative that's, wow, new and exciting, and compare it to, hey, did you know just 50 years ago this month we sent people to the moon for the first time? And that kind of allows us to draw parallels and look at the past and talk about the future. It's a great conversation starter.
So as you alluded to, the Trump administration said it wants the U.S. to return to the moon by 2024. That's in 5 years. NASA also wants to send astronauts to Mars by 2023. Do these seem realistic to you? And does this moon landing from 50 years ago help guide how we would go about it today?
That is a wonderful question. So I think that being on the moon in just a few years is a rather ambitious goal. And the goal of sending astronauts to Mars has kind of been readjusted because the moon is going to be a way station. But in terms of the previous moon landings, we've learned a lot from those and from experience since that's guiding how we are deciding to set up the current moon missions. So, for example, we're looking at launching a capsule on a tall rocket again, like we did with the Apollo program. But this time, to get to the moon, we want to have a space station orbiting the moon that they can connect to and then land from there to the surface of the moon, and kind of it's going to be called Gateway and kind of create these different pieces after what we've learned from the Apollo program.
And it's also been 8 years since the U.S. had halted its space shuttle program. Have you noticed a difference in the interest level of children since then? And you've been in the business for close to 9 years.
Yeah, I actually have noticed an interest. We just had the anniversary of the last space shuttle flight. And when that happened, a lot of people asked me, oh, are you closing your doors? Are you going to lose your job now that NASA is closing? And it's been a whole lot of, oh, hold on. And so the focus in recent years has shifted to planetary science, the bevy of robotic space probes and rovers and landers. We have a great armada of science robots. And so kids' interest has kind of shifted naturally towards the robotic aspect. And it's been easy to hook them with that. To talk about how we're still very much active and alive in space.
Going back to the Apollo moon landing 50 years ago, about to mark the 50th anniversary, certainly a transformative moment in our history. How much do you worry that this moment will fade without ongoing public advances or another attempt at a moon landing in a couple of years? And are you concerned that Americans in some places have maybe lost interest or feel that it's too costly or too risky along those lines?
We've definitely even seen here people who think that the space program, yes, too costly, too risky. Hey, we're not going somewhere else. We're just hanging out in Earth orbit. Who cares? We should be spending our money on the Earth. What a lot of people don't realize is that the space program ultimately is about bettering life on Earth. The advances we make in building lunar spacecraft and landers and the sciences we do in the space station always end up benefiting the people back down here on the Earth. And I think it is important to have times and places where we remember those things from the past and call that to mind, because we can use that to spur people on to think of new things and, wow, look what we did in the past with this much technology, and look at what we have now. What new amazing things can we do? So, yeah, I definitely think we don't want that to fade from memory, but it's crucial as one aspect in helping spur people on towards the future.
And what more might we learn in a return trip to the moon?
So some people think we've learned everything there is to learn about the moon, but that would be like taking a dirt sample from your backyard and saying that you understand everything about North America from that single sample. So one of the charges of the new moon program is to take samples from what we call the dark side of the moon, the nighttime side. Or the southern side. You know, there are different areas where we haven't even taken samples yet. So we'll get to learn a lot more about the moon. And one of the important things about studying the moon is that it preserves processes that have been happening to the rocky planets since they came to be. But on places like Earth, erosion and plant life and people cover those processes up, but the moon preserves them perfectly. And understanding how things affect the moon, again, they help us understand how it's going to affect the Earth and how we may be able to change or protect ourselves or what to expect and all these things. So even studying the moon helps us back on the Earth.
So it seems like to some extent we don't know what we don't know yet, right?
Exactly. And that's one thing I love about space exploration is exploration, going out to see just what there is.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Libby Torbeck, who is the flight director at Challenger Learning Center, which is hosting a moon mission for adults and children on Friday, July 19th at 6 p.m. and One Giant Leap for Children on Friday morning at 9 at the Learning Center. And outer space has also become a new frontier for entrepreneurs. Jeff Bezos of Amazon fame, Elon Musk of Tesla fame, have both created companies. For Bezos, it's Blue Origin, and for Musk, it's SpaceX. Both have the goal of making it into space as well. Could this be a turning point where private industry takes over, where government-sponsored space programs have stepped back?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the government is being charged more and more with working in partnership with those private industries because companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin, they are not under the same kinds of constraints, so they can prototype faster, try things faster, move more quickly. And so for the upcoming moon program, for example, NASA is looking at partnering with private industries to build the lander portion that will land from the gateway down to the moon. In fact, Blue Origin's lander, based purely on looks, is my favorite. It's called Blue Moon, and it has this really big central orb that looks like a giant moon.
Do you think they could make these advances faster, that they could get us to the moon faster or to Mars?
I think so, yes, because they have the advantage of being able to be more flexible and work quickly. They have their own challenges, and there is certainly something to be said for the safety regulations and things that slow NASA down. They're very safe. And so I really like that private industry is working in partnership with NASA. It's not an either or. We're going to try and get the benefits out of both.
And what do you think their ambitions are, their reasons for wanting to participate in this? Are they the same as the government? Is there a thought maybe of a colonizing someday or something along those lines? I mean, I guess that wouldn't necessarily be possible, but anything along those lines that would make their motivations different?
There are definitely a bevy of motivations, and there actually have been talks about colonizing someday, or maybe a private industry who wants to be there first, or who can afford to just say, we just want to explore, things like that. So there are definitely different motivations involved.
I know that President Trump has also announced plans to create a Space Force as a fifth branch of the military. They plan to have it established by next year. So if that's the new frontier for the military, would that be something that would spark more interest in the great beyond?
I think it would. I definitely think it would. I mean, we have the National Guard training facility at Heartland, the campus where we are, and we have kids that come through our programs who are intrigued and they want to know more about joining the military, and it'll be fun to be able to say, hey, you like space and you're interested by that National Guard stuff. How about the Space Force?
Well, I can tell you have a great passion for the space program. Can you explain how you got involved in it, where that spark was first lit for you?
Yeah. So in fifth grade, we learned about the planets in the solar system. And at home, my mother had us cut the planets out of foam core and color them in, and then we mounted them on the wall of our basement. And that was my first real memory of working with space stuff. And I was entranced by the planets. But then as time went on, that kind of went dormant. And then when I graduated from college here at Illinois State University, I was in education. I was looking for education jobs. And this job opened up at Challenger Learning Center. And so I looked into it and I found out it was a space simulator, and I thought, I should go to a space museum, you know, check this out. And I went into an exhibit called The Hall of Space that covered the space race, and it was like opening Pandora's box. Every model of Sputnik and picture of an astronaut, my eyes were just popping out of my head, and I could not get enough information fast enough. So then going to work at the Challenger Learning Center allowed me to keep learning. I had chances to travel to NASA facilities and see a rocket launch of my own. I got involved in a social media community of space geeks and things like that. And it just was a chain reaction. And then, of course, being able to see that light in kids just makes it even more special and wonderful for me.
That was Libby Torbeck, flight director at Challenger Learning Center in Normal. She hopes to see more girls get interested in the space program. The next moon mission is named for Artemis, the Greek goddess of the moon and Apollo's twin sister. NASA wants to put its first woman on the moon.